Welcome to the QP Diaries podcast. This podcast is all about inspiring and empowering the next generation of QP professionals and future quality assurance leaders in the UK pharmaceutical industry. On every episode, I'll be speaking to QPs from across the industry, and our listeners will have the opportunity to hear their stories, their expertise, and we're going to be discussing topics to foster growth and learning to help you develop your career as a qualified person. If you're passionate about quality assurance and want to learn from some of the very best QPs and thought leaders from across the industry, then this is a podcast for you. I'm your host, Dal, founder of AssureBio, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Alona, welcome to the QP Diaries podcast.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
No problem. How are you today? You okay?
I'm really well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for asking. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be having this conversation with you today, and more importantly, hearing about your journey to becoming a QP. So look forward to getting into it. I mean, I think on previous episodes, I've been talking to quite seasoned QPs, quality professionals who qualified in the early 2000s, I would say. So I think I approached you because I think it's quite important to have a conversation with a newly qualified QP. So looking forward to having this today. But before we get into that, can you provide our listeners with a bit of a background on yourself and your career history, please?
Yeah, sure. So my background is in microbiology. I've completed a degree in microbiology in Poland, and I worked as a quality control and R&D microbiologist, both in clinical and then pharmaceutical settings, in sterile and non-sterile pharmaceuticals for various dosage forms. I've undergone a natural transition from the lab to the quality assurance, and I worked as a QA officer and senior QA compliance officer, as a quality auditor, again in biotech, and later in generics and CMOs, pharmaceuticals. From there, again, through my natural progression, I've moved on to the management and leadership roles, still in quality assurance. And I've been leading teams now for over a decade, really. And having acquired more than 10 years of GMP exposure, I then transitioned to get some hands-on experience in a GDP area. And I became an RP, an RPI on a wholesale distribution authorization. And whilst fulfilling those duties, I completed my QP training, and my current role includes all three. So the QP, RP and RPI on the MIA and a WDA. That's pretty much it, I think.
Yeah, it's quite a broad role at the moment. Excellent. And when did you qualify as a QP?
So I qualified late last year, in the middle of last year, I think it was in June. I am definitely a new QP here.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, so less than 12 months as a QP. Okay. And so going back to your career then, what initially sparked your interest in taking on the journey to become a QP?
Yeah, this is a really good question, Dal. I think from a really early on, even as a microbiologist in biologics, I've always aspired to be a QP. I worked very closely with QPs on batch records review and deviation and investigations, and I was really impressed with their holistic understanding of so many different products and processes and different concepts, and I was impressed by their in-depth knowledge and their decision-making process. So from an early on of my career, I always knew that I would like to move towards that area and broaden my understanding and expand my experience to eventually become a QP. It's a long journey.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, so essentially it goes back to just working around these individuals, these professionals, and learning and seeing what they were doing day to day.
Absolutely. They were so inspirational and so helpful in my career, each and every one of them, very experienced QPs that I had the pleasure to work with. And they have truly inspired me to become a QP.
Excellent. Yeah. And when did you start your training then to take on the journey to become a QP?
So I've started the training in very late 2019.
Okay.
And yeah, so yeah.
Yeah. So it started end of 2019 and then yeah, coming into COVID. So training for a COVID.
Yes. Yeah. Training through COVID and obviously doing the modules as well at different pace.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. And going into the topic of today, this is about sharing your entire experience of the training, your preparation for the Viva, attending the Viva, sitting the Viva, and then passing the Viva to becoming a QP today. So at the start of that journey and going into your training, what were the sort of common challenges that you were facing during that period?
So I think for me personally, and I believe a lot of training QPs will maybe sympathize with this, it's I think there are a couple of key challenges, and time constraint being the key, I think, because a lot of us are tackling full-time jobs and, of course, family responsibilities, and we are doing training on top of it all. And it's with, especially with jobs that are quite dynamic and demanding, it's actually quite challenging to do everything at the same time and try to do it within a small time constraint. And then, of course, within the family life and the private time, there is a lot of dedication needed and time to allocate to the training and revision. And that certainly for me was a challenge. And finding a balance between the work and training and private life, I think it's really important to find that balance earlier on, unless, you know, until the end of the study and pass the Viva. Otherwise, it may actually become quite difficult,
yeah,
not only for the trainee, but also for the family members and friends.
Yeah, yeah. So the time management is essential, is key to get right, to balance family, work, your studies.
Yeah, I think setting, for me personally, but then everyone will be different, for me personally, setting myself extremely tight timeframes, borderline unrealistic, it was also a challenge because for some reason I thought, oh yeah, you know, I'll be able to do it in such and such time. But actually, when it came to the study and when it came to the revision and absorbing this vast amount of knowledge, it actually takes much longer than anticipated because there is so much knowledge to be absorbed and understood. So I think maybe setting the timeframes which are realistic is also helpful.
Yeah. So is this something that you discussed with any QPs around you before you started your training, just to understand, okay, how you should manage your time?
Yes, of course. You know, there's been a constant supportive network from the QPs and from colleagues and from management and also from, you know, from my partner and private life to sort of find that balance. It's important to allocate sufficient time for the training and do it appropriately with the company being fully abreast of what's happening and making sure that the duties don't suffer, but the training is also being given some priority.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you were prepared and you understood exactly what you'd be walking into and how to then structure your time to balance that work and family life.
Yeah, I think later in the process, at the beginning is not so hard because it doesn't seem so daunting at the beginning. But when it comes to last modules and the Viva, it then becomes a lot more. There is a lot more pressure, and there is of course, you know, the time pressure that we put on ourselves. There is a deadline on which we wanted to apply, and there are all those almost artificial deadlines that we've put on ourselves that are then hard to meet, and that may cause some you know, some stressful situations, but all those deadlines and need to be revisited accordingly, yeah, and need to be adjusted to the pace of learning.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. And were there any other sort of challenges that you were facing at the time of your training?
Yeah, I think there were a few challenges. I was so engrossed in absorbing the knowledge. I was so keen in learning all the books and learning all the guidelines and finding out all the minutiae detail about the different subjects that I neglected starting the application. And okay. I think this was the key for me to recognize that if I was to do it again, I would have done it differently. But I've started the application late in a process, and it was actually really quite hard and time consuming to then go back to the modules I've already done and almost backtrack what I've already learned. And then having to put it on the application, I was then discovering that, well, there are actually a couple of gaps that I thought I already covered, but yet they're still there. And it was almost, it happened too late. I wish I started proactively and very early in a process. And I wish I've done it module by module. And I actually focused on the application, because the application itself is a very important document. It's a to-do list. It's a list where we can tick off all the study guide experience and practical exposure and knowledge. And I think the key is the to-do list. And I highly recommend to all training QPs to start it before any modules are taken and do it module by module. It's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's interesting. Yeah. So initially you neglected the application as you were so focused on just acquiring the knowledge during the training process. So you had to backtrack, as you say.
I had to backtrack, and I found that it was more time consuming, and it was harder then, because of course, 6 months later, I didn't quite remember the minutiae of the modules that I've studied. Of course, I have the study materials, but it's just taken longer unnecessarily.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's really good advice then. So for anyone who's about to start their training, is that don't neglect the application form. Actually focus on that.
Yes, by all means, start it before going to your first module.
Okay, excellent. So when it came to actually preparing then for the Viva itself and the experience you went through, apart from what you just mentioned, what other advice would you provide?
So I think, again, as I mentioned, have a look through this QP study guide. It's an essential document. And of course, once the QPs will look at the study guide, they'll realize the vast amount of knowledge and the tremendous level of detail that needs to be acquired. And obviously, the scope of the QP study guide is very broad. And prepare the list of all the essential concepts and modules. Which ones you need to do, especially the areas that you need to know thoroughly and in details. Particularly, for me, I prepared a list of all the key things that I need to absorb, and I split it into almost like a study plan. And I followed that study plan to the best of my abilities with the time constraints given. And the study plan was shifting. Of course, it was shifting. Because, for example, I thought perhaps I will spend Saturday on water system and then Sunday on stability. But actually, I required the whole weekend for the water system, because there is so much to learn and absorb with that, together with the qualification and so forth. So there is, I think there is maybe a tip for the new QPs to prepare the list of everything that's essential in terms of modules and concepts and subjects. Have a plan, a study plan. Know what you're doing when, or what is your, best guess plan in terms of your timing. And simplify all the concepts, consolidate. I think the key in here is that we study for years. And bear in mind, there was also the whole vast decades of our experience that we pour into this training. So, and then we study for years for the QP. So the Viva only takes 2 hours. And in 2 hours, the assessors will expect us to demonstrate our knowledge and understanding of the entire study guide. That's not a long time. So my tip to all the new QPs particularly is to simplify all the concepts that you are learning. Simplify and consolidate it. Map it, bullet point it, do whatever work for you, and understand the concept and understand it top level. Because on a Viva, when the question comes in, you won't have time to go into details. You will only be able to give the top level understanding. And actually on my Viva, I pretty much spoke in bullet points because that is how much I needed to cover to feel satisfied with answering the question comprehensively. And on top of that, I think it's important to answer comprehensively, succinctly, but also logically. Yeah. The assessors need to follow your mind, and your mind needs to be organized. It's very difficult coming to the Viva with this vast, tremendous knowledge that we acquire over the years and try to say it simply and say it succinctly as well. It's hard. And I think the study, the practice bit is really important. The Viva, the mock Viva questions, practicing with your sponsor, practicing with other QPs and other training QPs, and having that network, because answering Viva questions is something completely different. It's very unique, the process in itself. So a good friend of mine, a QP, actually told me as I was studying, and he was extremely helpful, he said that if you can pick up a really complex subject and simply and logically explain it to your partner or to your child, obviously yeah. without traumatizing them too much, then you understand it. And yeah. if you understand it, then that's all you need to do. Because on the Viva, the questions are structured in a way that they test your understanding. So, you know, quoting the guidelines verbatim may not be the best thing on the Viva. So submit your QP registration really early on as well, so that you can receive the application template in accordance with the new process. And try to see the wood from the trees. Every subject is so vast and so broad. And if there is any tip for training QPs, it would be just ask yourself, what are the risks? Where are those risks? And what's really important in this subject? What can actually affect the patient's safety? Because there is so much information out there and so much detail, and you simply won't be able to articulate it quickly. And that's what's needed on a Viva, to articulate something quickly. Yeah. And also, I think maybe the last point is to actually give yourself credit. And QP training is hard. It's hard. It's much harder than I thought it would be, actually. And it's hard on many levels. And there is so much information and very little time, and you try to know it all. And the truth is, you won't know it all.
Yeah.
The people that are trying to know it all, I think they'll just tangle themselves, and they perhaps may get disheartened or have some sort of imposter syndrome. So don't go down that route. Pat yourself on the back, give yourself a credit, and just don't give up.
Yeah, yeah. No, some really good tips in there. And to clarify, what one of the points is to be, to have a system in place for the individual, not to try and duplicate someone else's process. Do it which works for that person. As you say, get organized. When it comes to the Viva, you know exactly what's going to work for you, just to then articulate your answers to the assessors.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you touched upon the sort of mock Viva as well. How many mock Vivas did you carry out to prepare for the actual real one?
I wouldn't be able to tell, because there were countless.
Okay.
Countless. There were so many. I was very lucky, and this is something that I also recommend to the training QPs: utilize your network.
Yeah.
I had a network of very supportive QPs throughout my training. I had a network of trainee QPs that were willing to work as a team. At one point, I was part of four different groups of training QPs that were sort of trying to learn from each other and discuss different concepts. I found this absolutely invaluable because every day, every time we spoke, I've learned something new.
Yeah, yeah. I hear that quite a lot, is you use your peer group around you.
Yeah.
They're all going through the same emotions, the feelings, the challenges when it comes to the training. So, yeah, use them. Excellent. And you mentioned in terms of giving yourself credit. How do you stay motivated? Because there's so many ups and downs throughout the process.
Absolutely. I'm going to be honest. I have had some weak moments during my training. I try to know it all. That was my problem. I try to know it all and I try to know it quickly. And the combination was pretty tragic for me. It was really difficult. And I think only late in the process, I've just realized that I'm trying to know it all. It will never happen. And actually, I don't need to know it all because there are experts in the areas that have that experience. You know, there are people that worked in labs for 30 years and they will always know more than I do. And I think understanding that as a QP, the holistic understanding and also assessing risks and knowing enough to know where the risks are is probably the key. Well, it is the key. And actually utilizing the strength and the knowledge and experience of the subject matter experts, that's where the strength of QP is, to know where to go and also where to go for the detail in terms of legislations and guidelines and different quality publications. So I think giving yourself a credit is really important because towards the Viva, as you're revising, I think I felt, I don't know, I suppose there were moments where I felt a little bit, I don't want to say panicky, but it was a state of, I just felt like, you know, am I good enough for this?
Yeah.
Am I going to be able to perform in this role? You know, am I ready? Will I ever be ready? And I think this mindset, if you banish that mindset earlier on, the training will be a lot more enjoyable because, of course, you will start realizing that actually I really enjoy studying. I enjoy researching. I enjoy making notes. I enjoy understanding complex things. And when you switch from that stress mode into the I actually really enjoy the process mode, then everything changes.
Yeah.
And I had to go through this transition. I don't know if other training QPs will be in the same stage, but it may be a useful tip.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds completely natural that you went through that, and I guarantee so many others are going through that or have gone through that on their build up to their Viva. Thank you for sharing that, Alona. And bringing us on to the subject of the Viva. I'm sure there's some people out there who maybe have it coming up in the next month or a couple of months, and they're probably dreading it, to be honest. So I'm quite keen to hear about your experience of that day. Can you describe the actual day itself and of the Viva assessment, please?
Yeah, of course, no problem. So on my Viva, was in Royal Society of Chemistry, and it was in London, and I've had five people in the room, and three of those were the assessors, one assessor from each joint professional body. There was a one trainee QP assessor, and obviously the representative of my joint professional body running, you know, the administration part of this. And the Viva was on time. My Viva has taken exactly 2 hours, pretty much on the dot. When I entered the room, of course, it was very daunting, not mentioning the fact that it was 35 degrees in London on that day.
Wow.
And of course, you know, this is probably the most important job interview that you will ever have. So you need to look professional and, you know, wearing suits in 35 degree heat was challenging. But you know, you sort of come in. It's quite nerve-wracking, but everyone is very professional, very courteous, polite. The assessors will provide a brief overview of the process, but this is very quick because the time is extremely limited. And there is no small talk, which obviously, you know, I wasn't expecting one, but they essentially just tell you what the process is and we move on. And time flies on Aviva. I was there for 2 hours, but it went like a blink of an eye. And Aviva is fast paced. So there are three assessors that are asking the questions, and they will ask questions in turn. And you need to think fast. You need to think fast, and you need to think on your feet. The questions are designed to evaluate the entire knowledge of the study guide. So they are sometimes jumping from one area to another, which is understandable. And sometimes they are also linked. So for example, I had a question about the water system and the construction and qualification and the risks in different points of water system. And that moved on to statistics, which, you know, makes sense because, of course, of the water data. In my case, it was a talk data that statistics was being asked around. So sometimes the questions are sort of jumping, sometimes they are linked, but it's fast paced. And I think brace yourself for an intense couple of hours because you need to be at your sharpest. Maybe a strong coffee will be good. For me, my Viva experience, I think if I could have a tip for trainees, plan your timing. Plan your timing carefully. If your Viva is in London, very often there are some sort of, I don't know, sat-nav pockets. There is no sat-nav reception. You don't know where you're going half of the time because the sat-nav doesn't work, or there are parking issues. And of course, you can't really predict traffic or accidents. So plan your timing and arrive earlier. Viva is stressful enough. And this the thought of being assessed is pretty daunting. So you don't want to be late. And also, you don't really want to go through this unnecessary stress of arriving delayed or perhaps being stuck in traffic and not knowing if you're going to get there or just struggling with your sat-nav in London. And of course, the assessors are there to help you. And everyone has been saying this always during my training, and I can say that now during this chat to other training QPs, because the assessors are there to help you pass. They're not there to fail you or cut you out or make you feel like maybe you don't know things. They are there to help. So it's really important to listen to the assessors.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the assessors will try to change your mind. For example, this is quite typical in recall scenarios where you've made a decision, you've recalled 60 batches from the market, and they will say, well, you know, and they'll give you a contra argument. And they will do that. And they will do this on every recall scenario because that is how they are trained to assess that you are able to stand your ground and trust your judgment. And there are two things maybe that I could say to the trainees. Firstly, you need to distinguish between when are they testing you, whether you can stand your ground, or whether they are actually offering you helpful information, which you've not considered, and you should consider it, and perhaps reassess your decision. And I think it's really important to think on your feet and listen to what they are saying, because you're either on the wrong track or perhaps you are on the right track and they're just testing you to make sure that you actually stand your ground and you can reiterate the justification for your QP decision. Because in the future, no one will hold your hand. You have to make a decision and you have to be comfortable with it. So that's an interesting thing. I think this is the tricky bit. It's an unusual exam. It's certainly a very unusual exam. And of course, the assessors, you know, it is essentially a job interview. And the assessors need to be assured that you have the right aptitude and skills and knowledge to be a QP, and also in future maybe be a head of quality or be a, you know, quality director. And I think they will want to see that you are aware that you are not going to do all the work yourself, that there are other departments that will deliver the work to you. And for example, maybe saying things like, you know, I would liaise with the QC manager to obtain the following, or I would expect that the engineering department will provide me with such and such data. I think those things are important because they show the assessors that, you know, you're not doing all of it on your own, but you're relying on the experts and quality management system in place to deliver the right output of the right quality. So, and what's good is that, of course, on Aviva, we know the outcome of the exam straight away. So there is no waiting time, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. So you're not left hanging around for too long, questioning Absolutely. What actually happened in that room.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And in retrospect, is there any other advice that you would provide to yourself or to others if you had to do it again?
Yeah, I would definitely start my application early. I would complete my application module by module. I would complete my gap assessment module by module. And I will I think it's important to seek support from SMEs because the SMEs will clarify your understanding and you will be able to move on from certain concepts a lot faster if you try to work things out yourself. And learn from the experts. You know, there are so many experts out there, people that are training QPs and they've done it for a living very successfully, and utilize their expertise, attend the one-to-one sessions, attend the application review days, listen to the podcasts. I mean, there is a really good podcast from Alex Hall on the QP Quandary website, which is the QP application form podcast. I highly recommend listening to that. And also use the experts, you know, use the training provider companies that are excellent in delivering this training. And my good advice to everybody would be to attend all modules. I've attended all modules. And even though I'm a microbiologist, I've attended a microbiology module. And I've found that I've learned a huge amount during that training. Because of course, during my three-year degree, I did not have to learn pharmaceutical application of the microbiology, whereas in a course, the courses are targeted to a QP job. And so even though you perhaps have a lot of experience in a certain area, I think attending all modules is also very beneficial.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, no, great advice. And that got you to the point, as you mentioned, that after you left that room, that you had the news that you passed.
Yes. So I was told straight away and I was asked to leave the room for a couple of minutes and I sort of came back and I've been given the great news.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. So you had the elation of the news that, yeah, you were now eligible QP. How did you feel?
Of course, I was very pleased. You know, it's such a big thing and there is this tremendous feeling of accomplishment and pride. Yeah. And you know, and also I was very relieved because I can have my life back and I can finally read something different.
Excellent, yeah. And then on to the next part of your career. So what's your experience been since becoming eligible as a QP? Has it been a bit chaotic?
So the experience been great. The experience has been great. I was very pleased that my company was in a position to retain me as a QP, and I could continue, obviously, to gain further experience as a QP, RP, and RPI simultaneously.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoy releasing batches. It's a great thing. I absolutely thoroughly enjoy this. Or should I say QP certified batches, actually.
Yeah.
QP trainees would correct me there. And yeah, and just working with really experienced QPs is very beneficial.
Excellent. Yeah. So you've had a pleasant start to your career as a QP then.
Brilliant start, actually.
Yeah. Excellent. And my final question for you then is, what is now the favorite part of your job?
I think now they're dealing with quality issues, dealing with investigations with CMOs, and actually doing the QP certification of the batches is probably my favorite part. Being so heavily involved and being the decision maker is you know what I've trained for, and yeah, that's brilliant.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I can definitely see your passion. Yeah, no, thank you so much for sharing that entire experience. And I think that is going to be really, really valuable for anyone who's either the start of their journey or, as I said, potentially got their Viva coming up in the next couple of months. So, no, thank you, Alona. If anyone wanted to reach out to you and ask your advice, are you happy for me to share your details on LinkedIn?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I'm happy to be approached, but I will just put a caveat there that there are so many QP training experts out there, and I'd highly recommend using them, and they were pivotal in my success. And you know, any one-to-one sessions or mentoring QP study groups or web tutorials, you name it, I benefited tremendously, and I would definitely recommend people to attend those and network with other training QPs. There are always so many, and the networking is invaluable. So yeah, utilize what's out there, and yeah, good luck in your journey.
Yeah, that's great bit of advice for ending the podcast. So no, thank you for being a guest on the QP Diaries, Alona.
Thank you so much for having
really
me.
Appreciate it. No, you're welcome. And yeah, we'll speak soon.
Speak soon. Thank you. Bye.
A huge thank you to our special guest and to our listeners for tuning into the QP Diaries podcast. We hope you've enjoyed the show. As the founder of Assure Bio, we created the podcast to support our wider quality assurance community, which aligns to our dedicated offering as a recruitment agency to the pharmaceutical and biotechnology industry across the UK. We have over 10 years of experience exclusively focused on recruiting senior quality assurance leaders and QPs. If you want to learn more about Assure Bio's recruitment services, or if you would like to be a guest on the podcast, then please don't hesitate to contact me. Thank you.